聖書を開く前にお祈りして神様の導き、助けを求めましょう。Heavenly Father, we come now together to look at your word, to seek to know what you are saying to our hearts at this time. And we pray for the help of your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth who leads into all truth. We acknowledge that without his help and guidance, we cannot understand anything of your word and of your will. So we commit ourselves now into your hands, asking these things in Jesus' name.天の父なる神様、今から共にあなたの御言葉を学ぼうとしています。どうか真理の御霊によって一人一人の上に働いて、すべての真理に導き入れてくださいますように、この時にあなたが私たち一人一人の心に何を語っているかを知ることができますように、聖霊の助けと導きなしには全くあなたの御言葉とあなたの御心を知ることはできないので、すべてを御手に委ねて主イエスキリストの皆によってお祈りいたします。アーメン。 Today's reading is from John's Gospel, Chapter 6. The theme for the message today is walking by faith, taking a phrase, that term from the Bible. Walking by faith means basically living by faith. So I'm going to read from John chapter 6, verse 24 through to verse 40. The story continues long after that, but for the sake of time, I limit the reading to verse 40. Starting at verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you that the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, yet you do not believe. All the that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Stand in the reading there, verse 40. As I said, today's theme, walking by faith. And this is really a continuation of the message from last week, where we looked at how to, what it means to follow the Lord Jesus. All of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are called to follow Jesus and Jesus only. No one else. No matter how they may, or famous they may be, or how they may seem to be a great spiritual leader or anything else, we are called to follow only one person, and that is the Lord Jesus himself. And it's not easy. We looked last week that we can't see him, so we have to follow by listening to his voice. And he speaks to each one of us very personally, intimately, calls us by our name, and he leads us and goes before us. And so to follow him, as we were looking at last week, takes us to learn how to walk by faith. And today we're going to look at this passage and some other passages to see what things are important in learning to walk by faith and to follow the Lord Jesus. First of all, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. We looked at it several times in recent weeks, but this is the basis of starting to learn how to walk and live by faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, being saved by faith is a gift given by God's grace to those who come to the Lord Jesus and ask him to be their Savior and Lord. And we cannot work for it. We cannot achieve it. We just receive it as a gift by faith in the promise of the Lord Jesus. Just like we read here, whoever comes to me, I will in no way cast out. For all who come to him and ask him to be their Savior and their Lord, 100% guarantee he receives us and he becomes our Lord and Savior. And that's where it starts, but if we were to read on, as we did previously in other weeks, at verse 10, it goes on to say, we are his workmanship, created for good works that God has prepared in advance that we should walk in them. So, just like we are saved by the gift of faith given by the Lord Jesus, he will give us works that we are to walk in, good works, not, like I said, not religious acts of keeping rules in order to be saved, but following him by faith. And he knows each one of us intimately, and he has prepared works that we can do for his glory. And to do that, we begin walking in faith, following his voice. Here we see in John chapter 6, this reading that we're looking at today, these men who came seeking Jesus, the day after he had performed one of his greatest miracles, where he fed over 5,000 people with a small amount of food, 5 small loaves, 2 fish. He prayed and blessed it, and over 5,000 people were fed and satisfied. And it's the next day. They come across the sea over to the Sea of Galilee, and they come looking for Jesus. And we started to read the story there. And Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, assuredly. You are not seeking me because you saw the signs, the miracle. He said, you are seeking me because you ate the loaves and were filled." And that's in verses 26 to 29. And that is the first thing that we have to learn about walking by faith, and is that it's seeking Jesus first in our lives, above all other material things, and not working to achieve and to please God or to be accepted by God, but seeking him first. Now, these men, unfortunately, were not. And Jesus said to them, he said, "You're not seeking me as Savior, as your Savior, as the Son of God, because you saw the miracle, and the purpose of the miracle is to cause people to seek him as their Savior." But they were not. He said, "You're seeking me only because you were filled and satisfied physically." And goes on to say to them that you should not work for the bread that perishes, food that perishes, but for the bread that of life that I will give you, the Son of God. And we need to understand that Jesus is saying, only by seeking him first over everything else in this world, we learn to start walking by faith in order to follow him. And of course, he doesn't mean that a person should not work for their food and for their living. Of course, the Bible commands us very clearly, we are to work for our living, to feed ourselves and our family. Well-known proverb, even Japanese people quote it, taken from the Bible, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. "When we were with you, we commanded you this, that if anyone will not work, neither will he eat." Japanese, they say, "Hatarak zaru mono kubeku arazu." Taken from here, 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. So Jesus isn't saying, don't work. Of course not. God has commanded us to work for our living. But he is saying, do not let that become top priority, more important than seeking me. And so it's a question of what we are seeking first, top priority in our lives. And only when we are seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness can we learn to walk by faith and follow the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, we looked at it many times, one of the greatest promises, unconditional for every believer. Let your life, your conduct, be without covetousness. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So it's interesting that the beginning of that promise, it says, and this is very seldom quoted, says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Covetousness means seeking something else before God, more important than God in your life. Something you feel you must have it, and you must have it now, and you won't trust God to meet your needs in his time, in his way. So there's a very close connection between not allowing the things of this world to control our hearts and knowing that because the Lord has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that he also promises to supply everything we need for this life, as well as our spiritual needs. Of course, it doesn't mean, like I say, we sit back and do nothing and pray and God will just provide everything. No, but he will provide the opportunity for us to work and get the things that we need for this life. He has said himself, I will never leave you. I will always be there as your provider. So you can be free from covetousness, your heart being controlled by things of this world. And also, you can be free from the worry that that brings. And like he said in the Sermon on the Mount, do not worry about the things, what we shall eat, what we shall wear, where we will live. He said, you can be free from that worry if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. And so these men who came to Jesus seeking him for the wrong thing, they were seeking him as their king of this world, to be their king, you know, the day when he performed that miracle the day before, and they fed this crowd of people. It says, straight after that, they took him, and by force, tried to make him their king. So they're looking first and only for the things of this world, a material kingdom, king who will provide them with everything they need materially. And Jesus refused it. And he said, my kingdom is not of this world. He will be the king of our hearts, and he will set us free from being controlled by the things of this world and the worry that brings. So Colossians chapter 3 verse 5 makes a statement about this which is very deep and also very enlightening. This word covetousness comes up again. Colossians 3 5, it says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. The last little phrase covetousness, it says, is idolatry. We think of idolatry of going and start praying before a false god, an idol. And this is saying that if we allow anything of this world, anything other than the Lord Jesus, to control our hearts, to become first place in our hearts, it's the same. That becomes our God. It's the same as standing before a false god and praying. Idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. So they're all one and the same thing. And therefore, these men who came to Jesus could not believe him, could not begin to walk with him in faith, because they were not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Moving on to the second point, and that is the faith that we have to learn to walk in, as well as not depending on our works, it also does not depend on visible evidence, something that you can see with your physical eyes to follow. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight," meaning physical, visible evidence. Now these people, again, continue the conversation with Jesus. They say something astonishing. In verse 30. "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?'" And I say it's astonishing because they're asking Jesus to perform a miracle that they can see physically so that they might believe in him. And this is just one day after they had already seen him perform one of the greatest miracles that he ever did. Not only did they see it, they actually ate the bread and the fish that was miraculously increased. And here they say, within 24 hours, "What miracle, what sign will you show us that we may believe?" And this teaches us something really, really important that we all need to learn. Even after we become a Christian, seeing a miracle does not produce faith. The world says seeing is believing. Now that is the direct opposite of what the Bible teaches the meaning of faith. The Bible teaches real faith, believing Jesus, the Son of God, has got nothing to do with physical evidence, visible evidence that you can see with your physical eyes. And even in the church, many believe that if we could see a miracle, if someone could just see a miracle, then they would believe in the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that does not happen. Miracles do not produce fear. I said earlier, and Jesus said it, you seek me not because you saw the miracle. The purpose of the miracle, and we can pray for a miracle, certainly, but the purpose of the miracle is always to cause a person to seek the Lord Jesus, to seek God. And it's then, when we seek Him through His Word, through the Word of God in the Scriptures, either by reading it or by listening to it, we seek Him through His Word, then that is where the faith is born. Nothing produces faith, true faith, except this, the Word of God. You can see that clearly in Romans 10, verse 17. It says this, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus, referring to these people in His generation, He said they were an evil generation because they seek a sign before they believe. They insist on a particular miracle. Not good enough to see even that great miracle of feeding the 5,000, or more than 5,000. Seeking some particular sign and insisting that unless this particular sign is given, they won't believe. And Jesus said, this is an evil generation. Romans 10, 17, as I quoted, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and obviously that includes reading. You may hear it from someone as you listen to the Word of God preached, but of course also you should seek Him through reading it yourself. When you seek Him through His Word, Jesus guarantees that He will give that faith, true faith. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He starts it and He completes it to the end. But He only gives it to us when we seek Him first, and we seek Him through His Word. And don't depend on seeing miraculous signs in order to follow Him and to walk by faith. He's teaching us to trust in His Word without any visible evidence. That is true faith. Taking Him at His Word, believing in His promises, not in miracles. And you know there's a great danger in putting miracles, signs, and wonders before the Word of God. Now you only have to read through the New Testament to see in the last days when the Antichrist comes and he will deceive the whole world. You know how he's going to do it? He's going to do it by deception using supernatural signs and miracles. And anyone who is seeking supernatural signs and miracles first, before the Word of God and the will of God through His Word, they will be deceived. Great danger in putting miracles and signs as a condition for believing. Jesus said to one of His disciples, Thomas, you know, the one who we know as Doubting Thomas, after His resurrection, Jesus appeared first to the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. when he heard from the other disciples that Jesus was risen from the dead, he was alive, Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see the nail prints, the scars in his hand, and the scar of the spear that went into his side. Unless I see them, I will not believe. Now the thing is, and it's great encouragement, should be great encouragement for all of us here today. A week later, Jesus appeared again to all of his disciples when Thomas was there together with them. And he appeared especially just for Thomas to give him the full assurance of faith. Now that seems on the surface to be contradictory, seems to be inconsistent with everything that we've seen so far. Jesus said he refused to give any sign to his generation except the sign of Jonah, which is his resurrection. 3 days and three nights as Jonah was in the whale, in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights buried in the tomb. But then why did he appear to Thomas, who said, I will not believe unless I see the scars, the nail prints, and the wounds in his body? Well, the answer, I believe, is Thomas believed in Jesus as the Son of God, but he could not believe the resurrection from the dead. Now that's the same for every one of us. The most difficult thing of all to believe is someone who was dead for 3 days and three nights, literally, physically rising from the dead. And even though we believe in him as our Savior and the Son of God, we still need him to come and give us that personal revelation in our own hearts in a way that we understand that he is actually risen and alive forever, the eternal Son of God. In John chapter 20, verse 29, at the end of this book of John, towards the end of the book, that story is recorded, and in verse 29, he said this to Thomas. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And he's talking about us, you and me, because we will not see him with our physical eyes like Thomas did. He's already gone back to heaven. But when we seek him through his word, and it's important that we don't just hear it or listen to it, but when we actually put it into practice and begin to follow him, walk by faith, then he will come in a very personal way, open the eyes of our hearts to see him risen, the risen Son of God. And give us that full assurance. That is the full assurance of faith. When you get that, any other supernatural act of God or miracles that you read in the Bible are no longer difficult to believe. Well, there are things in the Bible that are very difficult to believe. You read through the Old Testament and you see God stopping the sun from moving for a day. Such things that just are way beyond all human comprehension. So much that we cannot even begin to understand until we get this assurance of faith that Jesus, as the risen Son of God, eternal, as he said, I am he who was dead and am alive. I'm alive forevermore. And the personal revelation of that to each believer's heart brings us into that full assurance in the Word of God. And we begin to understand not by human reasoning, intellectual reasoning. We begin to understand spiritual truth comes through faith. And that brings me to the last point, going back to John chapter 6, that this faith, true faith, is given by the Lord Jesus to those who seek him through his word. It does not depend on intellectual understanding. These men went on to say, I didn't read it because it would be too long, but if you jump to the end of the chapter, verse 60, when Jesus spoke things that they just could not understand, we talked about this a little last week, talking about following the Lord Jesus, and it means following and trusting without understanding how he will work it all out, how he will do everything that he has promised us he will do. We have to trust him without depending on intellectual human reasoning and understanding. Now, verse 60, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? And then jump to verse 65 and 6. He said, therefore, I said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And these were disciples, people who had come to Jesus and were trusting in him as their Savior. But when he said something that was beyond their comprehension, he was talking about whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life in him. And they said, this is a hard saying. How can we eat his flesh and drink his blood? Now the thing is, they were not willing to keep walking by faith, even when they did not understand. But you see, Jesus said to Simon Peter and the other of his closest disciples, will you also go away? No, you're going to hear and see things much more greater than that. You're going to see here the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with the angels. But Peter said to him, Lord, to whom else can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And we have come to know and believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Peter didn't understand any more than those ones who walked away. But he decided to keep on following, walking in faith when he didn't understand how it was all going to happen and all going to work out. And this is one of the most difficult lessons we have to learn. God is continually working in everything that happens in our lives, all the circumstances in our lives, that very often, even as Christians, we find we just can't understand why God allows this to happen. But it is through those times, more than anything else, that God is teaching us to walk by faith. And the thing is that when we do, the understanding comes later. Like I said, in the Bible, it teaches that spiritual understanding of God's word and God's will comes after faith, not before it. It's human, it's natural for us to want to understand every detail before we believe, because that gives us, we feel, a sense of security. But that is not how God works. And you read all through the Bible, starting way back in Genesis, you know, Abraham, who's called the father of faith, he was called by God to leave his home, his family, his home country. God said to him, go out, go to the land that I will show you. And he obeyed by faith. It says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 8, he went out not knowing where he was going. And you see, God gives us only enough to know that he is leading us on to the next step. But he doesn't give us an explanation of how that is all going to work out, because he's teaching us to trust him and to walk in faith. And it's only later, when after we obey and follow him and walk in faith, only later we begin to understand even a little of why God commanded us or led us in that way, and why he allowed those things to happen. Of course, there are some things that we will never fully understand until we get to heaven. But very often, the life of faith means that we step out following his voice, and there's no harm in praying and asking for a sign, it's confirmation. But that's different to what we saw earlier, these people who refused to believe in Jesus at all, without some particular sign or a signal. That is a different thing. They were not seeking God, and they were not seeking to do God's will. But as believers, especially in the early days, as young believers, young in the faith, we all do ask for some kind of sign as guidance. I have done it probably more than anyone. And God does give us that sign when we're looking for it for the right reason. But when he has clearly told us and showed us, and we continue asking for a sign, now that is stubborn unbelief, which in God's eyes is evil. That's what those men were doing. So don't be thinking when you can't ask God for a sign to confirm some direction that you feel He's leading you and you want to obey Him. That's perfectly okay. These men said to Jesus, "What can we do to do the works of God?" And Jesus simply said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him and He has sent." It's all by faith. Saved by faith, and then learning to walk by faith. And then Jesus becomes for us the power of God. He will reveal Himself as the eternal Son of God, and He becomes for us the wisdom of God that we understand. We begin to understand things in God's Word, God's will for our lives. And so at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it sums it up. All these things that I feel perfectly summed up at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 to 24. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, to those who desire and want to follow Jesus as their Savior, and those who ask Him to come into their hearts, without understanding how it's all going to work, without depending on a physical, visible evidence, just trusting in His promise and asking Him to come into our hearts. That's those who are called. He becomes both the wisdom of God and the power of God for us. And it goes on to say here, just a little bit further down, 29:31, the reason God works in this way, that no flesh, no human being should glory in His presence. This is the only way that God can work to prevent us from becoming proud, glorying and boasting in our own ability, our own wisdom, our own power or strength. That's why God works in this way. And it goes on to say, but of Him, of Jesus, and Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. As it is written, quoting from a Jeremiah prophecy in the Old Testament, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. God says, you're not to glory in anything except that you know Me personally as your Savior. As a gift of grace through faith. And, you know, learning to walk by faith is something that none of us ever graduate from. There isn't going to be a time when you reach a place where you no longer have to learn to walk by faith. God will always, right till we get into heaven, be continually working in our lives, teaching us to walk and follow Him by faith in His promises and in His Word alone. Let's pray. Again, I'll pray in English and then in Japanese. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You again for Your Word. Thank You that full of exceedingly great and precious promises to those who are willing to receive your salvation simply by faith, and to put into practice your promises in our daily lives. And that is how we glorify you most. So, Father, we pray that even in those times where we can't understand why, we can't understand how you're going to work it all out, help us to, in those times, continue walking by faith. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. 10 months tomorrow, come some up. ご問いの言葉を心から感謝いたします。その言葉の中に、大いなる尊い約束、たくさんありますが、どうか信仰によって、わからないままで、何も見えないままで、あなたの約束を実行することによって、あなたの力と知恵と自分のものとして体験することができますように、少しずつ信仰によって歩むことができますように、どうか私たち一人一人を助けて導いてください。それによってあなたに栄光を返すことができますように、主イエスキリストの皆によってお祈りいたします。アーメン。